From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. A little later in the hour, a community activist in East Cleveland draws the line from abandoned homes and neglected neighborhoods to headlines about murdered and captured women in those homes and neighborhoods.
But first, President Obama spoke today in Galesburg, Illinois, at Knox College. It's the first of many speeches designed to focus attention on the economy. He said more needs to be done to keep the economy growing, but he touted some of what's already been done since the financial crisis of 2008.
We changed the tax code too skewed in favor of the wealthiest at the expense of working families. So we changed that. We locked in tax cuts for 98% of Americans, and we asked those at the top to pay a little bit more.
We're going to have more on the speech a little later in the program with NPR's Mara Liasson, but first we want to take a look at the state of the U.S. economy in July 2013. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. She's with us now from New York. Julia, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, there are a lot of different people saying a lot of different things about where we are economically. What would you say right now about where we are and how much growth we're going to see this year?
Well, the U.S. economy is fundamentally stable, and certainly the housing market has turned a corner, and that's very good news. But what we are in the midst of right now is yet another mid-year slowdown, which is what we've seen over the last few years, and a run rate on growth that's, you know, well below 2%. So this is sort of the disappointing side of the U.S. economy.
What would you say is the strongest part of the economy right now? Housing? I mean, we did see new home sales today hit a five-year high.
Yeah, housing is certainly one of the bright spots. It's turned a corner. Valuations, home prices have bottomed and are moving higher. That helps consumer confidence. You know, we're still seeing a lot of caution on the part of builders, so actually construction activity hasn't been growing as quickly as it did last year, for example, but home sales themselves, there's more turnover, and that's all good news. The labor market is a bit more of a nuanced story. There's been pretty good job numbers lately, but the quality of jobs isn't as great as we'd like to see. A lot of retail, a lot of part-time, low-wage jobs being created. So the numbers are there, but the purchasing power isn't as robust as we'd like to see.
And we're seeing a lot of underemployment, people that aren't getting the number of hours that they would like in this job market.
Exactly. So underemployment in a number of forms. Either you're working part-time, but you wish you were working full-time, or you're working at a job that you're overqualified for and is at a lower wage than you had earned in the past. Or you're, you know, in school or doing other things, hiding from the labor market, biding your time, waiting to get back in. So there's a lot of forms of this underemployment, but there's just a whole lot of people that are ready, willing, and able to work that aren't finding the kinds of jobs that they are qualified for.
What would you say is the weakest part of our economy right now?
Well, right now, you know, anything that is tied to the government sector is feeling some pain from the budget cuts. So the defense industry, some pockets of the healthcare industry, some areas of education. The budget cuts are real, and they're not going to end. I mean, we are seeing the sequester now, but there's another round of sequester for next fiscal year. And in general, we're on the downswing in the federal budget. So if you're in an industry that contracts heavily with the federal government, you're probably seeing some leaner times and some budget cutting right now.
For the last several years, there has been a lot of talk about companies that have a lot of cash on hand. They're waiting. They're holding back. They don't want to hire. They don't want to buy things until they're sure that the economy is doing well again. But it doesn't seem like they have decided to go out and spend in a big way, even though the recovery is moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're seeing some hiring and we're seeing a sort of moderate pace of investment, but the main thing that companies are choosing to do with those mountains of cash is to give them back to shareholders. So they are paying out dividends, they're buying back some of their shares, and both of those things return that cash to investors, and that is positive for investors, and that's certainly one of the factors that's keeping the stock market so very well supported. But it's not that high impact in terms of economic activity. It wouldn't be, it's not as high as if they were hiring a lot of people, investing in building a new plant. Those are the sorts of activities that really could generate some medium-term growth.
Now, in an ideal world, if politics were not a part of the equation and people were just making decisions based on what made the most sense economically for the most people, what would you have Washington do right now, and what can they do to help this recovery along?
Well, you know, there's a formula that has been out there for a long time that has been talked about, that the bipartisan commission talked about. If we could actually have the political will to deal with some of the entitlement issues. We've simply promised too many benefits than we can afford. We need to adjust those programs in a sensible way. If we could do that, then we could trade off and maybe spend a little more money on things like infrastructure, revamping education policy. We could do that now, but we can't do one without the other. You can't just spend more money now and not pay attention to those looming structural deficits that are just about 5 years down the road. And that's where the political will keeps falling short. So we're going to hear the president talk about jobs and job creation today and programs that he would like to see put in place, but he needs to be willing to come to the table and talk about entitlement reform in a bipartisan way, or nothing is going to happen.
And you could say the same about Republicans needing to come to the table and talk about some of the things that he would like to do for a short-term stimulus.
Absolutely. It goes both ways.
Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.